This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
On today's episode, we talk about a potential last-minute use for your dining credits, American Airlines Bonvoy's us too late to win an award, and we pick 2025's Deal of the Year.
Frequent Miler on the Air starts now.
Today's main event, 2025 Deal of the Year. Today, we're going to be talking about the best deals of 2025. We're going to recognize the programs that have brought good things to us this year, unlike last week's episode where we talked about the most customer unfriendly deals with the Bonvoy of the Year Awards. This year, we're going to give credit where credit really is due to those that have brought us great deals in 2025.
Yeah, and we love great deals. We kind of eat and breathe great deals. So this is a fun episode for us and hopefully for everyone else to kind of reminisce on some of the great deals that happened. And it's always good to learn about those so you recognize the great deals that come in the new year. Remember, if you want to jump ahead to one of these segments and listen to something in particular, you can always expand the show notes where you'll find the timestamp so you can jump ahead to something or come back to it later on to listen to it again. And wherever you're watching or listening, don't forget to like the video or give us some stars if you're leaving feedback on the podcast form. Leave us a comment. Let us know what you think. What was the deal of the year for you? We love to hear from you with your input and tips. All right, let's drag out this week's giant mailbag.
All right, today's giant mail. We've got several things going on. First, sort of a public service announcement. We're coming to the end of the year and you know, we did a show about end of the year checklist. You know, it's time to make sure you've gotten all your big coupons fulfilled and everything. And we've also done posts about it on the blog. And one thing that a number of people have written in about is dining credits. So, for example, the Amex Platinum cards have their $100 quarterly resi credits. The Sapphire Reserve has its exclusive tables, $150 every 6 months credit. And of course, the latest versions of those credits are coming to an end December 31st. That's your last chance to get in on them if you haven't already. And what people have written in about, and we think it's worth letting you know, is that, you know, let's say you have plans to visit a restaurant next year, but you're really hoping to get credit now. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes you can get online to that restaurant's website and buy gift cards. And sometimes that works to trigger those credits. So I can't promise you that it will work in the case that you're looking at, but I've had some success doing that and a number of people have written in with success doing that sort of thing. So it's something that we felt like, really needed to be said before the end of the year so you can get in on those credits before it's too late.
For sure. And this isn't going to work everywhere and every time. So, you know, if there's a specific place you're looking for, it's probably worth looking around online to see if there are any data points. It's all going to depend on how it gets processed. But it's good to know, especially if you've got a credit that's going to expire unused otherwise and you have a restaurant you know you're going to go to, then it might be worth just taking a swing at it. As I always say, it 0% of the balls at which you do not swing. So take a swing at it if you're going to let something expire unused anyway, because as Greg said, a lot of those credits are valid until December 31st, and then they renew again on January 1st, and you can use it again in the new year. So keep your eyes on that. But that's not it for today's giant mailbag.
No, it's not. But just one last word about the gift cards, though, is that if you had more time, what I would suggest is buy the smallest gift card denomination that you can, see if you get credit from your credit card for that charge before you buy the full $100 or $150 worth. For the end of the year, there's probably not time to do that. But if you're just starting it next year or whenever, there might be more time for that. All right, moving on. I wanted to talk about reactions to the Bonvoy Awards episode. As you hopefully remember, last week we did the Bonvoy of the Year Awards, and we also on the blog have a post out now, which is the People's Choice Vote. So head over to frequentmiler.com to cast your vote for who you think was the deserves recognition as the Bonvoid of the year, who did the most customer unfriendly stuff to us. And you know, as a reminder, in the show, Nick picked Southwest changes from people first to profits first as his number one pick. And I picked Chase Complexifies, Couponifies, and Costifies the Sapphire Reserve card as my number one pick. But there are plenty of other good picks to choose from, sadly. Anyway, I wanted to read some feedback from people who have written in about the Bonvoid Awards. Harold wrote, "The funniest thing about the Chase 2x/1.65x edit change," so this is where they, with the edit, they no longer guarantee a 2x points boost. He says, is that according to them, the plan all along was to start at 2x on all properties, then immediately lower after 2 months to 1.65 on half the properties? That's the worst plan I've ever heard. Have they never heard of under-promise and over-deliver? This is literally over-promising and under-delivering. Truly outrageous levels of incompetence. Yeah,
you know, great points there, Harold. Yeah, I mean, trying to play it off like it was the plan all along, like you said, to lower it after less than 2 months. And when we say less than 2 months, we mean, of course, for existing cardholders, people who had had a Sapphire Reserve for years because they didn't get access to all of this. Well, I should say they didn't get access to the benefit where you could use the $250 credit twice a year until October 26th. Although I suppose they did have access to the edit when that feature launched several months back.
Good point. So it's actually been available longer. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's been about six-ish months that the edit has been around and offered 2 cents per point. So I guess it was technically more than 2 months, but it feels like 2 months to me and you because we're trying to use that edit credit that, you know, came on the cards that we had before they refreshed the Sapphire Reserve in June.
Yeah. Yep. Good correction there. But still, whether it's 6 months or 2 months, it's still
right. Still terrible plan. I agree.
Yeah. Point well taken. Okay. Next up comes from Lee. Lee says the rollout of the City Strata Elite was unfortunate. Now that he's referring to that they froze a bunch of accounts, like a lot of negative stuff happened with the rollout. City has a way to go on service, but the underlying product for some, but not all, is workable. Earn multipliers are good for targeted spending. Statement credits are not overwhelming and easy enough to use. Transfer partner list is strong. And City Travel's pricing is typically competitive.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't include that in the Bonvoid of the Year Awards, the City Strata Elite rollout, right? That was something that we had talked about, but didn't actually end up making the list. And a few people wrote in to say that they were surprised that that didn't make the list. And there's a lot of reasons why. And we'll talk, I think, more about the Strata Elite later on in today's show. But at any rate, I agree with Lee that despite the really poor rollout in some ways, it has worked out to be a decent option. And City has really become a player again. I mean, I had really all but forgotten about City for most of the last several years. And they're once again top of mind. And now that the Altitude Reserve has promised transfer partners but not come through with that promise, I've changed our default tap to pay to the double cash for most purchases. So that's that says something to me.
Yeah.
City
yeah.
has changed my
behavior. That makes a lot of sense too. Okay, moving on. Jimmy wrote in, wow, it is amazing how much stronger the competition was this year compared to 2024. No doubt Southwest thought they had this year's award in the bag by destroying an entire airline. But that didn't count. They didn't count on Chase going from first to worst in such a spectacular fashion. Up until this year, the Sapphire Reserve card was my favorite card, and I couldn't have imagined dropping it. But after the refresh, it went to being literally the worst card in my wallet, and I didn't think twice in canceling. Hard to compete with that.
Sure is. Sure is. I don't think you're alone, Jimmy. I think a lot of people felt that way, and for good reason.
Yeah. Peter thinks that way, too, because he wrote in and said, the Sapphire Reserve is clearly the Bonvoid of the Year winner, hands down. As you said, they took the ultimate KISS, keep it simple, stupid card that made people have a positive association with Chase, the market-leading bank by far, and completely destroyed it. They can say they added value all they want in their marketing materials, but we all know that they changed the underlying fundamentals of the card itself. It's not about the annual fee, it's about the structure of the card itself. If one can no longer recommend the card to others, can we really still recommend it to ourselves? I'll be calling up in January for retention offers or to downgrade to the Sapphire Preferred. The only way that Chase will get the message is if folks abandon the Sapphire Reserve in droves, and they should. Too many other good options out there. While I might miss some of the Sapphire Reserve lounges, somehow I think I'll survive with the Amex Platinum and others. What a shame. Head should be rolling at Chase over this complete disaster.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't yet used the edit credit for this year. And if I'm not able to maximize a bunch of those for next year, I might do the same thing and we might downgrade to the Sapphire Preferred also. You know, you mentioned the Sapphire lounges, which are nice, and the Chase Ritz card gets you into those too. So we'd maintain that in my household without having a Sapphire Reserve card. So yeah, I mean, we may very well be in that same boat of considering a downgrade if we're not able to use this. Downgrading the edit from 2 cents to, in some cases, 1.65, that really leaves a sour taste for me. And I haven't even used the edit credit for this year, even before they did that. So I'm with you, I think, Peter.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that brings us up to Bonvoid. Let's talk about who has Bonvoid us this week. American Airlines made an entry just a little too late to make the Bonvoid of the Year awards, but soon enough to get in here before the end of the year. So American Airlines made a quiet change that they didn't tell anybody about on their website to say that there would no longer be the ability to earn miles or loyalty points on basic economy fares with American Airlines. This is for bookings made as of December 17th. And again, there was no advance warning on that and no notification afterwards. Just somebody happened to find it. John NYC on Twitter or X or whatever they call it these days had reported it. And if not for that, I don't know how long it might have been before the rest of us had noticed that they made this change. So if you buy a basic economy fare, you won't earn any redeemable miles and you won't earn any loyalty points. What's that all about?
Yeah. You know, American Airlines had a tough situation here because they were trying to get in on the Bonvoid Awards by doing a no notice devaluation, but by not having any kind of notice, we didn't know about it in time for the Bonvoid Awards. And so they lost out. So that's a shame.
It is. You know, I saw Zach, the author of the blog Monkey Miles, on Instagram. He had written something, or rather recorded a video, where he explained that, you know, it's well known that American Airlines earns more money from their loyalty program than they do by flying people. They earn more money by selling miles to the banks and everyone else, all the other entities that purchase miles, essentially. And rather than making profit on flying people. So they obviously need people to engage with the program. And how do you get new people to engage with the program? You take away the ability to earn miles on flights. What sense does that make? Like, I think that's a good point, because I think the idea that American Airlines has here must be that they figure that people who are primarily shopping based on price aren't loyal, and so they don't need to offer them miles and they could reduce a cost there. However, how do you get those people to become loyal? You've got to give them some miles and the ability to earn some return on their spend. Otherwise, you're just showing them that all that matters is their dollar and not their loyalty. I think this is a really poor choice for American.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I'm not sure, but I think this is pretty similar to what Delta's already been doing.
Yeah.
And so they probably looked over and said, well, Delta's getting away with it, so why don't we, you know, save a little bit by doing the same. You know what, though? It doesn't cost them anything to give out loyalty points. I mean, it's one thing to stop giving any miles, but I mean, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. And that's as much as airtime as you're going to get for that decision, American. So let's move forward to this week's main event.
Main event time, the 2025 deal of the year. We're going to talk about, we're going to list a whole bunch of great deals that happened in 2025. And just like last week with the Bonvoid Awards, we had to pare this down from a larger list, but it wasn't as hard this time. The Bonvoid Awards that were like so many really strong candidates.
A lot of competition.
This year, we haven't had as much like of the great deals, but there are some. You'll be surprised if you can't think of any. You'll be surprised when you hear our list. what some of those great deals were that you may have forgotten about. But first, let's review what the picks were last year, just so you can remember what kind of deals were we thinking last year were great deals, and then we can compare it to this year.
Yeah, so last year I picked Hilton rolling out their partnership with small luxury hotels of the world because they integrated so many of them so quickly and made them bookable both with Hilton points and with a Fifth Night Free being applicable to them and the ability to book with your Hilton Free Night certificates. So to me, that was great news because it gave Hilton an instant boost of these really kind of desirable, aspirational type properties and the ability for members to easily book them. Now, things have changed a little bit on that front over time. You can still use your free night certificates, which is still a great deal. The points price has gone up significantly, but for last year, for 2024, that was my pick for deal of the year.
Yeah, and I had a hard time not picking that because that was one of my favorites as well. But I really had to give SAS, Scandinavian Airlines, credit for their EuroBonus Millionaire promo. That's where people who flew 15 partner airlines, including SAS itself, would earn 1 million miles for doing that within a set period of time. And of course, we did a whole team challenge around that that we called Million Mile Madness. And it was just like this really great, headline, exciting promotion that could really make people excited about miles and points in a way that very few promotions are capable of doing. So yeah, that was my pick. And Steven also picked that as his favorite deal of the year.
And Tim picked the Chase Inc. Preferred 120K welcome offer, which is something that, again, this was around in 2024, long ago expired. But for a while, anyway, it was possible on the Inc. Business Preferred for new cardholders to get 120,000 points with minimum spend achieved, and then to get 40,000 points for referring someone. So if, for instance, I referred my wife for a new Chase Inc. Business Preferred, she could earn a big welcome offer, and I could earn 40,000 points for referring her. That was a terrific deal. So Tim picked that, and I think a lot of people had taken advantage of that, and that was a really strong contender as well.
Yeah, and in fact, when we did our People's Choice vote for Deal of the Year, that was the winner of the People's Choice. And if you think about it, so when two people are working on this together, 120,000 welcome bonus plus 40,000 referral, that's 160,000 points times two, because if you refer each other, and because you could refer from other Ink cards, by the way, you didn't actually have to already have this particular one. You refer each other, each get a total of 160,000 points. That's what, 320,000 points. I did it in my family of three. We did a round robin referral, so add another 160,000. It was an incredible deal, and it was well worth winning the People's Choice.
Makes sense. Makes sense. All right. So that's a look back at last year, but now we need to look forward or backward at 2025. So let's talk about the 2025 candidates for deal of the year.
All right, let's get into this. We have them organized by first airline and hotel deals, then credit card deals, and then other stuff. For the airline and hotel deals, first up, Japan Airlines. Suddenly this year has partnered with transferable currencies. So forever, the only way to transfer to Japan Airlines that I've been aware of has been through Marriott at a poor transfer ratio. But now both Capital One and Bilt let you transfer points to Japan Airlines. And Nick has done some great work on uncovering some incredible award deals that are available through their award charts. And so that's an exciting change in the points and miles landscape in general.
It really is. And if you've missed those posts, there are some great sweet spots like booking Air France business class to Europe using Japan Airlines miles. And that might sound weird to you since Air France is in SkyTeam and Japan Airlines is a oneworld airline, but they partner. So there's some opportunities there. And also booking JetBlue, particularly complicated JetBlue itineraries with multiple stops. Japan Airlines offers some great value there. So worth checking that out. And that's an interesting development that they've partnered with a couple of transferable currencies. Speaking of JetBlue, JetBlue's 25 for 25 has to make the list this year. JetBlue has been running a promotion where if you fly 25 or fly to 25 JetBlue destinations by the end of 2025, you can earn 350,000 total points and 25 years of Mosaic One status. And so I did that promotion with my family of four. In fact, the rest of my family just hit their 25th destination on Saturday. My wife received the email today as we record this a couple of days later, and confirming that she has hit the 25 destinations and will now have Mosaic status for 25 years. So we haven't seen the points deposit yet, awesome. But we will soon. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it is. It's exciting. We will have about 1.4 million JetBlue points coming here shortly, and that's pretty wild as a family of four to be able to do that. But even as an individual, 25 destinations for 350,000 points and 25 years of status, potentially a great deal.
Yeah. All right. Next up after JetBlue is Wyndham. Wyndham deserves props for getting the math right on a promo that they did this year. They were offering people who already had diamond status before this promotion started would get five times the rewards, which meant 50 points per dollar before accounting for other reasons you might get extra points. And that would be in addition to whatever other promotions Wyndham was running, in addition to whatever credit card rewards you earn, in addition to if you went through a portal, you know, all that kind of stuff all stacked together and made for a very compelling promotion. So nice job, Wyndham.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so those were airline and hotel deals, but we also have some great credit card deals to discuss from 2025. First up, we've got Alaska Atmos Summit Card. That card launched this year, and it launched with some really interesting benefits. It's got great features for people who fly Alaska and or Hawaiian, and for points enthusiasts in general, and only one type of coupon, a companion award ticket. So very simple, easy structure, unlike a lot of other ultra premium type cards on the market that have a million coupons that you have to remember to use each month or each quarter or each 6 months. This is really simple. There's one companion award ticket, and it's pretty simple to use. So this was, I think, a really interesting launch because it was creative. Whether it was a fit for you or not, I think you have to look at this and say, well, that's different than what everybody else is doing. And that made it a really great deal for people who are able to take advantage of it.
Yeah, totally. For everyone who's just sick and tired of all these premium cards that have added all these coupons that are, you know, you're kind of required to figure out how to get value from them in order to, you know, account for or to justify these annual fees that are $600 and up. You know, now you have Alaska coming out with this premium card that's $395 and is just offering solid value. Now, yeah, people who don't travel with a companion, it makes sense that this card would not be for you, or if you don't have a good use for Alaska miles, whatever. But for those who either fly Alaska or Hawaiian or like to use their points, there's like goodies in there for everybody. And also, don't forget, this card, when it was announced last year that it would offer 3x for foreign transactions, we were kind of dumbfounded by that because, like, usually banks earn less on foreign transactions, you know. So to be able to give 3 points per dollar for foreign transactions just seemed incredible. Yet somehow they're doing it. So kudos to them for that. All right. Next up in the credit card space, I'm calling this Amex Platinum Cards In Your Face Chase Refresh.
So love it.
Let me give the context here. So, Chase refreshed their Sapphire Reserve card, and two of the big deals about the card were one was the Edit, which is their competitor to Fine Hotels and Resorts. They were going to give you $250 at the time every 6 months for towards the Edit purchases. And they have this dining program with at the time, a very small selection of qualifying restaurants where you'd get $150 back every 6 months again. So Amex was like, you know, hold my beer. We can do better than that. And they did. So what they did is they increase their Fine Hotels and Resorts and hotel collection credit from what was what $200 every 6 months to $300. So already they're giving more credit back on that than Chase is on hotel collections, and Amex has vastly larger collection of hotels available through their things, and they only and for the fine hotels and resorts, they only require a one night stay compared to Chase requires two. So they were like in your face, Chase, regarding the hotel benefits, and then dining. They were like, okay, we're not going to do $150 every 6 months. We're going to do $100 every 3 months. And and it's not going to be for a very narrow selection of restaurants. It's going to be for all resi restaurants. And they're like, boom. And by the way, here's some other great credits as well, a whole bunch of other stuff. So they really knocked it out of the park. Their refresh, I think.
They sure did. And actually, you were talking about the fine hotels and resorts credit, and you were talking about the old one being $200 every 6 months. I think it was $200 a year
Oh, a
before
year.
the
That's right.
refresh.
I got that wrong. Yep. So
So
that went way up.
Went from 200 a year to potentially 600 a year. And yeah, I mean, the resi credits, you're totally right. And calling it the in your face Chase refresh, that's chef's kiss there. That was exactly the right way to put it, though. I mean, right? Because I think when we heard at the beginning of the year that Amex was going to increase the annual fee and there were rumors of it going to $900, I think both of us thought, okay, this has reached a ridiculous level and there's no way this is going to be interesting. And it went from that to, wow, this is actually pretty compelling for $900. And then, Chase came later and tried to do the same thing and just came up really short there. I guess I say came up later. They refreshed theirs before Amex refreshed, so that's why it's the in your face Chase refresh. But Amex had announced first that they were going to refresh. So yeah, I think they did a terrific job, and that really is a deal of the year, especially a deal of the year candidate, I should say, especially for people who had the card before, who got all the new benefits but only paid the old annual fee. I just had one renew a couple of days ago at $695, and getting all the benefits that are on it now for the old annual fee is terrific. Obviously, for people who became new cardholders or see a renewal in the new year, I think you're going to see the $895 annual fee now. But it's been an excellent deal.
That last point requires a little more. I mean, that's part of the in your face Chase thing, because Chase also, so Amex, as soon as the card was refreshed, all existing cardholders got access to all the new coupons and
Yeah,
benefits, right?
true. Yeah.
Chase had this very
Oh,
complicated
yeah.
thing where existing cardholders would, be under the old structure until October 23rd or whatever it was.
26th. Yeah.
And it was just really, really complicated, which is sort of their theme for this Sapphire Reserve refresh. It's like, let's make it as complicated as possible to where
Right.
we, Chase, don't even know what we're talking about when we say 2x on something.
Yeah. Totally true.
All right.
Totally true.
Anyway,
All right. All right. So
So that's
that's
the,
that entry, right? Okay. Next entry up, the Amex Business Platinum card has had targeted offers for up to 300,000 points after meeting minimum spending requirements, sometimes with no lifetime language. So there have been people that have had or maybe even have an Amex Business Platinum have been able to get that 300,000 point offer. I mean, 300,000 points for a single new card offer, that's amazing.
It is. That's a great offer, and I mean, we see similar numbers like that with things like Venture X for Business, but it requires it's those two-tiered things where it requires like an astronomical amount of spend to get that next tier. This is more, still a lot of spend, but still more reasonable. All right, moving on from Amex, Chase did make our list of the deal of the year, and I think this is a good one. This is a very strong candidate. It's hard; it may be hard to remember with all the Sapphire Reserve hubbub, but we were all very excited earlier in the year about the Sapphire Preferred card having a 100K offer for a while, and that was good by itself because, unlike these premium cards that have these huge minimum spend requirements to get these big welcome bonuses and the big first year annual fee. Sapphire Preferred has the $95 annual fee and a reasonable spend requirement. 100K, that was a great deal. But for a little while, the Rakuten shopping portal offered some Chase credit cards where you could sign up through Rakuten. And there was a time where you could earn $300 or 30,000 points, depending on whether you're set up to earn cash back or Amex membership rewards. So 30,000 points for clicking through Rakuten, applying for the Sapphire Preferred card, and getting approved. So you would have earned 100,000 Sapphire per, Sa well Chase points once you met minimum spend, and 30,000 Amex membership rewards points if that's how you were set up on Rakuten, which was kind of hilarious, but also an undisputedly great deal.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, an indisputably great deal there. Like, there's no way that you couldn't consider this among the deal of the year candidates. And yet, I think this wasn't top of mind for me at all. Like, this isn't something that came to mind, right?
I
But
had
it was
forgotten all
such a good
about it.
deal. Yeah, but it was such a good deal. I helped a family member do this because essentially 130,000 transferable points with a $95 annual fee. I mean, if she didn't make any use of it beyond that and even forgot to cancel for a year or two, it'd still be a fantastic deal, right? So
Yeah,
this is
totally.
certainly one for the books here, the 100,000 points with such a low annual fee. And then that additional 30K going through Rakuten was pretty wild. So yeah, good one there. All right. But that's not the only card to make the card list either. We've had several of them so far. The City Strata Elite is going to make the list. Wait, the City Strata Elite, Craig? I mean, they had a disastrous rollout. How did that make the list?
They did, but they recovered from it in a sort of spectacular fashion that resulted in a great deal for certain cardholders. So, a number of people who applied for the card got the card, and then their accounts were frozen because Citi was asking for some forms. And so that was very frustrating, and people were like, I can't meet the spend requirement in time because my account's frozen. How are they really gonna, not give me the welcome bonus because they're the ones who froze my account and made it impossible? And they came back and said, we are going to, for those who sent in the forms and got their accounts unlocked, we're going to waive this year's annual fee, and we're going to give you the 100,000 points with no spend requirement at all. And that was a great way to recover. And for those people, that could easily be seen as the deal of the year.
Oh yeah, for sure. And my wife got caught up in this, and she had opened the card, and she actually had met the spending requirement, and the 100,000 points had hit her account already, so she didn't benefit from that part of it. But her account got locked, like many other people's did, and had to send in the forms and wait, and it, took however long it took. But so I was unhappy with it. I was unhappy primarily. Obviously, she had met the spend, so we weren't in the boat that a lot of people were in, where they were wondering, am I going to have enough time to meet the spend? But for me, I was thinking, if and when they ever unlock this, how much time am I going to have left for us to be able to use the various coupon credits? Because there are a number of annual credits on that. And we had some upcoming trips that we weren't able to use the credits on because the account was frozen. And I was annoyed because now we were going to have to hunt out a separate use. And I was remarkably less annoyed when they refunded the annual fee. I said, okay, all right. We had paid the $5.95, and I thought, oh my goodness, we had to pay for this thing and can't even use the benefits. But I think that that was the right thing to do. Now, I want to be careful not to give Citi too much credit, because I think it was really the fact that it hit the Wall Street Journal that kind of pushed them into making this right. It didn't seem like they were making any efforts or any strong efforts to make it right until it hit widespread attention. But once it did, they did handle it, I think, in a way that became a great deal for people who were able to have taken advantage of it. But that's not the only reason that Citi made the list. Citi also made the list because they added American Airlines as a transfer partner this year for Citi Thank You points. And so that made the Citi Strata Elite even more appealing, I think, and makes Citi cards in general more appealing, because the ability to earn American Airlines miles potentially, since you can now transfer your Citi Thank You points to American Airlines. I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that have a lot of Citi points that have banked a lot over the years and can now take advantage of some great sweet spots with American Airlines Advantage, because of course there are some really good uses of American Airlines miles out there. So I think that was a big big win. And we kind of saw that coming, sort of. I mean, people had for years wondered why Citi didn't have American Airlines as a transfer partner. And then finally, we had kind of caught wind through some information they had released earlier in the year that it sounded like they were going to add American Airlines as a transfer partner. Although I think we probably thought not until 2026 when they become the sole issuer of American Airlines credit cards officially. But it launched this year, so that turned out to be a nice deal.
Yeah, and American Airlines are they're so valuable for international travel, especially on American Airlines partners, the oneworld partners. Even if you're not a fan of flying American Airlines itself, the miles can be fantastic. You know, Nick and I have both used them for incredible value to fly Japan Airlines first class, Qatar business class. I could go on in Etihad apartments. You know, it's, some of the value there has been really, truly spectacular, and that continues. So having the ability to get those miles from Citi is really big.
Okay.
All right. Our last entry overall is not a airline or hotel program and not a credit card, or at least not directly. So the last one is Rakuten, the Rakuten portal. You know, it already had the option of letting you earn American Express membership rewards points instead of cash back. Now they've added the ability to earn Bilt points instead of cashback or Amex points. So you have more flexibility there, and that could lead to, of course, Bilt like Amex. They're both transferable points currencies, but with different transfer partners. So it gives you a lot more flexibility of where your points eventually can end up.
Sure does, because there are some transfer partners there that are harder to earn large numbers of points in. Alaska stands out as one that it's hard to bank up a lot of Alaska miles. Japan Airlines is another one. Of course, you do have Capital One also for that. But nonetheless, valuable to have those. And of course, Hyatt. So I'm glad to be able to turn those Rakuten points into something else. We should mention, though, that the one-to-one ratio of earning your Rakuten rewards to earning Bilt points is only temporary. That's scheduled to perhaps change in May, I believe, where you'll need Bilt Elite status in order to maintain the one-to-one ratio. So that deal may change in 2026. But for 2025, it's been, I think, a nice positive change.
Yeah. And just to clarify, it's after the May payout. So Rakuten does their like payouts quarterly. And so after the May payout, that's when the that ratio will change, except for Bilt Elite members.
Yep.
All right.
So that brings us to the question, what was the deal of the year? So there were some great candidates in there that are going to appeal to different folks in different ways. And there were also other good deals that we crossed off the list, to be clear. There were other great deals that happened this year that didn't quite make the cut. But out of those that did make the cut, Greg, the frequent miler, what's your pick for the deal of the year 2025?
All right. So just like I did with the Bonvoy Awards, I did not have a decision in mind before the show started, and I thought us talking through these things would clarify for me. And you know, right now I'm sitting here going, well, JetBlue 25 for 25 has to win, because what an exciting promotion. And I mean, when have we ever seen a way to earn not just a big group of points, but 25 years of elite status? Nick's family is looking at, like, his kids are looking at being full-grown adults and still having Mosaic status.
Right.
That's kind of amazing. At the same time, when I talked about the Amex Platinum cards in your face, Chase, refresh, I almost talked myself into that one. That deserves to be deal of the year. Ultimately, though, I am going to go with the JetBlue 25 for 25 for the reasons I just said.
Yeah. It's definitely a tight race this year. And for me, it was really between the same two. And same thing as Greg, I didn't make up my mind until we talked about it. And it's the same too, because the Amex Platinum card, I think, really surprised me, because I said, when we talked about the rumors of it going up to a $900 annual fee, I said, I just can't imagine how you're going to convince people that $900 a year for a credit card is a reasonable amount. I thought it had just hit the stratosphere and been like, all right, that's just too much. It's going to price everybody out. It doesn't matter what coupons you add at this point. That's just too much money for most people to consider for a card. And it went from that to, oh, wow, this is pretty interesting. And still not worth $900 for everyone. I want to be clear. It's not like it's a slam dunk for anyone out there to get that card. It's not. And it's still very expensive. And you obviously have to be able to afford to dump that money in ahead of time in order to get the coupons back later on. So there are a lot of caveats there. But I think it was an amazing refresh that for the price was surprisingly good despite a really high price. And so that is a very close contender. But like Greg, I have to go for JetBlue's 25 for 25. I mean, you mentioned my kids, and that's really the thing that kind of puts me over the top with this because, number one, great promotions we've seen in the past have typically been to earn miles and points in some way. And we've talked about some other deal of the year candidates before. I think years back, Iberia had that deal where you could buy really cheap flights and earn like 90,000 Iberia points. And of course, SAS had the EuroBonus Millionaire promotion. And so every now and then we see a miles and pointsy type of promotion, but the ability to earn status too that lasts for such a long time, I think that put that over the top for me because like my 7-year-old is soon to be 8. And he'll be 33 by the time the JetBlue status runs out, you know, and that's like, to me, that's pretty incredible.
I love that. Love
that
that.
potentially, you know, that will happen. I do too. I think that's pretty wild. So I think JetBlue deserves a hats off because we had no plans to fly JetBlue this year. Like it was not on the docket, and they got us to fly to 25 destinations and chase after this primarily, I think, because of that. The points were a good deal too. I mean, don't get me wrong, a lot of people came out ahead just on the points aspect. Would we have flown to 25 destinations just for the 350,000 points each? Probably not. I think the component of adding the ability to earn status for so long and look at this and say, wow, my kids, like Greg said, they're going to be, you know, potentially through college and on their first jobs and maybe have kids of their own before their ability to get extra legroom seats
Yeah,
runs out.
that's right. Unless the airline runs out before they do,
True.
before their status does. I mean,
Right.
yeah, it really, and just like the SAS promotion last year, this one really just brought fun to the miles and points space in a way that very few promotions do. And so, hats off to them. And I also like little editorial here is like, when they came out with this, I thought, oh, you know. That's really cool that they kind of learned from the SAS promotion and they figured out their own like version of it. Now you may have noticed that there were a couple of other copycats to the SAS promotion this year. Like Turkish tried to do one like it, and Etihad tried to do one, and they both completely bungled their promotions. So JetBlue, there were some hiccups with it, but overall, but you know, kudos to them. And it was not just, it was original. So like, even though it was probably inspired by the SAS promotion, they did their own twist on it in a really good way with the 25 years of status. And you know, in the end, it actually worked pretty well. So good job there. We also asked our fellow team members and blog authors, Stephen and Tim, you know, which of the deals do they pick as deal of the year? Stephen agreed with me and Nick. JetBlue, 25 for 25. Tim, though, disagrees. He says he likes Citi being able to transfer to American Airlines as his deal of the year. And I can't begrudge that. It's definitely a great change in the miles and points space.
That's a solid pick that applies to a wide range of people. I think it's interesting to me. So, from two different standpoints here, the fact that Stephen and Greg, neither one of them did the JetBlue 25 for 25 promotion, yet they're both picking it as deal of the year. I think that goes to say just what a strong promotion that is. Even people who weren't interested in taking advantage of it look at it and say, man, that was the best deal of the year. I think that that's a really compelling case to be made for JetBlue. However, neither Greg nor Steven did it. And I'm sure there's a lot of other people out there that didn't also. And so the deal of the year isn't such a great deal, I guess, if you can't take advantage of it yourself or if it doesn't fit for you. So I can totally see Tim's pick here because I think there are probably many more people who will find great value in the long run from the ability to transfer city points to American Airlines. So I think Tim's pick is also a really strong one from that perspective, that it's very widely applicable. Whereas if you didn't live in the Northeast, doing the JetBlue or Florida, doing the JetBlue thing was pretty tough. Now, I did meet some people as time went on, or from the West Coast that were flying all around the East Coast doing this. So it wasn't impossible to do, but it was much more difficult if you weren't East Coast based.
Yeah, it really was. You know, I tried. I had worked out plans to try to do it, and it just did not make sense because every time, you know, every weekend I would go flying, I'd have to go through, you know, the same cities I'd already been through just to start my journey in order to try to get to new destinations. And it did not make sense. So anyway, that has more to do with the route network to me than the promotion itself, you know.
True. Yeah, working within their limitations there. All right, so those were our picks for Deal of the Year. What say you, the reader? Let us know in the comments. Send us your suggestions or your ideas about the Deal of the Year as well. Let's move into this week's Question of the Week. This week's Question of the Week came in via Frequent Miler Insiders. So let's see, I think it was Abdel wrote in and said, or asked the question rather, anyone had trouble using Hyatt Suite Upgrade Awards when booking with Chase the Edit or Amex Fine Hotels and Resorts? Tried to apply them and was told I can't since I booked via third party. Any tricks to get it to work, or am I out of luck? So again, to be clear here, what the poster was looking to do was make a booking through Amex Fine Hotels and Resorts or Chase the Edit, because those programs, of course, allow for the ability to earn loyalty points through your chosen hotel program. So assuming that you attach your Hyatt number, you would earn Hyatt points and get your Hyatt Elite benefits. What about attaching a suite upgrade award?
All right. Well, I'm going to let Nick tell us what the answer is here, because I just can't remember. There's a lot of details at different programs, and sometimes I don't keep them all in my head. And so in this case, I've seen various people ask about that type of situation, and I haven't taken the time yet to go look up, you know, how does it work? How should it work?
Well, you know, I think I wrote a post a few years ago about the fact that you can't do this even when booking via Hyatt Privé. I was told by Hyatt that it's not possible to be done, that you can't add it on that. And so that was my answer, was no, I don't think it's possible. I've tried before and been told no. However, several people commented in response with contrary data points. So Elizabeth in the Frequent Miler Insiders groups writes in and says, it is possible. I had back-to-back Amex Hotel Collection and the Edit reservations at the Hyatt Regency Coconut Point. They did not immediately show up in my World of Hyatt app, but I was able to message Hyatt on Facebook Messenger and get them to apply my World of Hyatt number to each reservation. Then they were visible. Later, when standard suite availability became available, I messaged Hyatt on Facebook Messenger again and asked to apply a suite upgrade award. They applied one suite upgrade award to the whole stay, even though two nights were through the hotel collection and two through the Edit.
Wow.
They didn't even question it. I got all the globalist benefits, etc. Maybe I was just lucky, but, you know, went on to say that maybe adding the Hyatt number helped. And that wasn't the only person. So Barbara writes in and says, my Hyatt concierge applied one for me on a stay where I booked two nights with the Edit and two nights with Amex. She merged the reservations and kept the suite. This may have been because I originally booked the stay using Hyatt points, but then wanted to use these benefits. So I don't know. They applied the suite upgrade award originally. I don't know exactly how that part worked. Then another person writes in and says, it depends. I've been able to apply them to FHR bookings and Defense Travel Agency portal bookings by messaging the Hyatt Concierge team on X, formerly Twitter. However, no luck with other third-party bookings. So several people have said that they have been able to. So apparently it can be done. I have not done that myself, but that's really interesting to me that it might be possible to do. So you may not be able to do it on your own, and maybe you'll have to try more than once. Maybe try the Facebook or X teams, because maybe they have some special magic abilities to apply those in situations where others can't. I think the key is you definitely need your World of Hyatt number attached before you try to apply an upgrade award. A couple of people mentioned that in replies to that question. So you'll want to make sure you do have that. There is a line to enter that in the MXF HR booking flow. And when I've done that in the past, it's shown up in my Hyatt app. So I would think that you can probably make that happen. But nonetheless, interesting information.
Right, right. And about that last point, the edit also, there's a way to add your, when you're booking it, you can add your Hyatt number to the edit booking. Some people have reported that despite doing that, it didn't show up in their Hyatt online account, but I did one. I ended up having to cancel it, but I did one. It showed up next day in my Hyatt account as an upcoming reservation. So maybe I would have been able to apply a suite upgrade if one had been available. I don't know. Anyway, that's great information. So I would take it as like a giant maybe, right? Like right. I wouldn't, if you're unable to apply a suite upgrade, I wouldn't go complaining to Hyatt that, you know, right. Hey, I heard that you can do it, because
right.
I think that the fact that people are able to do it is probably more of a happy accident than a rule that more of a happy accident than anything that Hyatt intended for how it to work. But to be honest, it's unclear.
Yeah. And I thought it made for a great question of the week, particularly because the answers went contrary to what I thought. So I'm sure that a lot of other people would think the same. Like Greg said, I wouldn't go complaining if it doesn't work, but it, once again, goes to prove the theory that you hit 0% of the balls at which you do not swing. But if you take a swing, you might knock it out of the park. So good luck with that if you're making those bookings. Unfortunately, we're at the end of today's episode. If you've enjoyed this and you'd like to get more of this stuff in your email inbox each day or each week, you want to go to frequentmiler.com/subscribe to join our email list. Follow us on all the various social media, wherever you're watching or listening. Don't forget to give this a thumbs up or a like. And if you have a question that you'd like to be considered for a future question of the week, or a piece of feedback that you'd like to be considered for the giant mailbag, you can send that too.
Send it to mailbag@frequentmiler.com. And congratulations to JetBlue for winning our Nick and I's pick for Deal of the Year. Bye, everybody.
If you love travel but don't always have time to plan, we've got a podcast for you.
It's called Travel in 10, and in every episode, in about 10 minutes, we give you a smart, practical overview of destinations all around the world.
We cover what to see, where to stay, where to eat, and what actually matters when you're planning out a trip.
It's designed for real life. Listen on the way to the airport, in the car, or while you're thinking about your next getaway.
So if you want expert advice, zero fluff, and travel inspiration that you can actually use, search for Travel in 10 wherever you listen to podcasts, or you can also find us at voyescape.com.
Hi, I'm Mike Siegel, and man, oh man, do I love talking about travel. You think I'd get enough of it, touring the world as a stand-up comedian, or just going off on my own personal adventures around the world? No, when I get home, I still have to talk about it. That's how much I love travel. So every week I sit down with a friend, a travel expert, influencer, expat, or anyone from any walk of life who shares my passion for travel. So if you want to hear a fun, casual, off-the-cuff chat about travel from people who love it, listen to the Travel Tales podcast with me, Mike Siegel, wherever you get your podcasts.